The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Right, let's turn back to the Europa League last night. It finished Granada 0, Manchester United 2 in the first leg of their Europa League quarterfinal. Delighted to welcome Daniel Harris to the show. Good morning, Daniel.
Hi, good morning.
So Manchester United not amazing last night, but basically get the job done from the entire ties perspective.
Yeah, they didn't play particularly well, but they didn't have to. And obviously Granada made it difficult for them to by the way that they played. You watch United and you often hear, well, they don't like it when teams sit deep against them, when teams have organised defences. And I don't think anyone likes that. It's true that United do sometimes lack a bit of fluency moving the ball, but it is quite difficult for any team to play any team when they play in that way. And I think what sort of happened with United is the goals have dried up a little bit, but they're not conceding very many at all anymore. And once they are able to marry those two things, they'll be a hell of a team.
It also helps if a defence sits deep, but on your team, you've got an absolute wonder of a boot in Victor Lindelof being able to find your attackers.
I think we saw little bits from him and from Harry Maguire last night that you know that they're capable of, and you don't see enough of them. Like when Maguire brought the ball forward and he did that little kind of step over feint, Maguire's good on the ball and he's able to do more of that. And similarly, Lindelof passes it well and he's also not bad on the ball. If you were to start compiling this to their faults, which would not be unextensive in some ways, their ability on the ball would not be one of them. And actually, Maguire's improved in the second half of the season at bringing the ball out, at making that extra man and at giving, drawing out an extra defender. And Lindelof needs to do that too. I mean, we've talked a lot about their shortcomings as individuals and as a partnership because they're not as good as defenders that United have had in the past. But if you get the rest of the team right, they are probably good enough to sustain challenges for the big trophies. And yeah, it was a great pass from Lindelof for Rashford and a great touch and a great finish. Just a little bit before that, one of my mates messaged me and said, what is Rashford doing on the pitch? He's not fit. And I don't get many right, but I said like more or less that. Like he probably wasn't fit against Brighton, but he scored. And he didn't look fit last night, but he scored. And the thing is with United, when you are struggling to score a little bit, not playing the most dynamic, most regular scorer in a European quarterfinal when they can get through it is in some ways asking for trouble. So I wasn't surprised to see him stay on. I wasn't surprised to see him do something decisive.
Is he shattered at the moment, Marcus Rashford?
I don't know if he's shattered. I think he's more carrying injuries. And lots of players will tell you that you're never fully fit. He looks closer to not fully fit than you would like. And I think that today, I think maybe had the results not gone for United at the weekend in the way that they did, perhaps he wouldn't have played. But they have to go some to mess up Champions League now. Although that is slightly more complicated than people are saying it is, because if City or Liverpool, obviously Liverpool look unlikely to do it, but City, you really think that they might. If City win the European Cup and Arsenal were to win the Europa League, then fourth place won't be enough for Champions League. You've got to finish top three. So it's not quite as cut and dry as people think it is, but perhaps Rashford might not have started last night had United not been so far clear of the rest outside the top four. But at this point, they want to try and win something. So you play him because he's not so unfit you can't get anything worthwhile out of him, as we've seen in the last couple of games.
Just on your point then about Lindelof and Maguire, are we at a case now where we're starting to reassess the amount of work that needs to be done on that defence, as you say? I think people have changed their mind a little bit about that, because if the other parts in front and beside them are going well, naturally, your centre-backs are going to go well too.
Yeah, there was I wrote at the end of last season, before this season, when I thought United were quite good, and most other people writing about it seemed to think that they were somehow benefiting from some remarkable streak of luck by winning lots of consecutive games, that their defensive record was much better than their defending. I actually think they're defending pretty well now. So I think what the thing with Lindelof and Maguire, and it's sort of the same throughout the team, United have a lot of players who are good enough to play in a top four team, almost all of them now. What they don't quite have is enough championship players. Now, I'm not sure that Lindelof and Maguire are that level, but if you get some other players of that level around them, then they can be good enough. And the question now is who United are going to buy and in what positions they're going to strengthen. I think Ollie would obviously love Haaland, but I think lots of other teams would love Haaland as well, and that it's probably unlikely that he's going to go United. But they could do with another reliable regular scorer. Now, they might try and integrate Mason Greenwood at centre forward and try and find someone to play on the right who's able to do that. They might hope that Amad Diallo is going to be good enough to play on the right and try and find another centre forward. They might buy number six. If they do buy the right number six, let's say they buy Declan Rice. I mean, I think that is probably the most likely thing that United will do this summer. Then that immediately takes pressure off the defence, because he is going to protect the defence and he's going to enable them hopefully to play a little bit higher, because he's got some pace and he'll afford them more protection, and that will help the rest of the team score more goals. So yeah, I mean, Lindelof and Maguire are always going to be slightly vulnerable to balls in over the top, to balls in behind them, to strikers with pace and strikers with quick feet, because those are not things that either of them have. The cover from Luke Shaw and Aaron Wan-Bissaka is getting better, and the cover in front of them is getting better. And United, whatever people say, they are trying to become a more dominant front foot team. And that in itself means that the defenders are going to be under less pressure. They're going to have less to do because the team's going to have more of the ball. So I think that Ole would like another centre-back to play instead of Lindelof and with Maguire. Personally, it's not where I'd start. And I think that whether he starts there probably depends a lot on the players he thinks are available for that position and the players he thinks are available for the other positions that he'd like to fill.
In some ways, it's incredible, Daniel, that we're talking about Manchester United defending well and Bruno Fernandes not playing as well as he once did and being as influential as he was, and maybe that's part of the reason for their success. When you look at it in an overall sense, obviously out of the FA Cup, but shaping up to be another season of a step forward for Solskjaer, 15 points off even second last season as a guide, not to mind top, and almost certain now for at least another Europa League semi-final. What's your manager rating of Solskjaer this season in terms of steps forward with player development and the overall grand plan?
I guess it depends how it goes from here, but I would say that the cup game against Leicester was probably the most vexed I've been. I mean, I tend not to... Football's meant to be fun. Try not to get vexed about football. But the team that he picked against Leicester, to me, was totally unacceptable, because, first of all, you've got an opportunity to win a trophy, a really good opportunity to win a trophy. And United, last season, he rested players for the game against Chelsea, the cup semi-final. And that I understood, because I wasn't pleased about it. But United were trying to finish in the top four. I'm absolutely certain that's what his bosses told him his imperative was. And they played an absolute load of consecutive games, and he didn't trust basically anyone outside the first 11. So he rested players for the league in the cup semi, and they got battered, and it was annoying, but I felt I could understand why he did it. Against Leicester, I didn't really feel that, because United had been able to rest players a little bit. They've got more players that are reliable this season, and not only was it an opportunity to win a trophy, but it was an opportunity to defend the treble that Ole was the man who clinched. And to me, as a United supporter, I don't care so much about this, but every season begins with the imperative to defend the treble. No other team in English football has done that, and United should be making sure, doing everything they can to make sure that no team ever does that. And really, the only way they had of preventing that from happening now was to stick in the cup and hope to beat City. I mean, on the other hand, you definitely don't want to lose an FA Cup final to City as part of them completing the treble. We definitely don't want that at all. So perhaps it was actually for the best in the end. But you would want United to be able to do something to try and prevent that from happening, as well as also winning the cup. And it felt like they tossed that. And they lost quite comfortably to Leicester in the end. But, I mean, it was 1-1 at half-time. They barely played. And that was quite frustrating, because United are a better team than Leicester, with better players, and their best is better than Leicester's best. But if you don't get anywhere near that, then you will lose to Leicester, who are a really good team. And so to do that was, I found, extremely frustrating. But to come back to the original question after that long detour to air a grudge, I think United have done pretty well, and I think Ole's done pretty well. Depends on if they win the Europa League from here and finish second. I think you're looking probably at an eight, given that first at this point is out of reach. Like I always said at the beginning of the season, that I felt that if it was a low points tally that won the title, then United actually had a chance, because I felt that they had better players than people thought they did, and they were better than people thought they were, and they had goals in them. But they weren't ready to go and get 85 plus points at this point. And so what they're actually doing is not far off their maximum. I mean, watching the Europa League still find a bit annoying because they should still be in the Champions League. And watching the Champions League the night before and watching Paris win at Bayern Munich was also annoying because I don't think Paris is that much better than United. I mean, Mbappe is obviously better than any player that United have. But United won in Paris by being a much better team than them. Then they battered them again for 20 minutes when they played them at home and should have won that game too, and they didn't. So points off for that. So, yeah, somewhere between 7 and 8.
Which is a really ringing endorsement, given that you're probably dealing with a lot of 5 out of 10s for the last number of years. But we had one of our pundits on the show last night, and we were asking him about who he felt the best coaches on the planet are at the minute. And maybe no great surprise, he spoke about the likes of Zidane, Pep, and Klopp. I mean,
About Zidane as one of the best coaches.
Yeah, you're not.
I don't think that anyone would say that Zidane was a good coach. I mean, Zidane.
Does he not get a hard rap? Is it you subscribe to that he's got all the best players, and so why wouldn't he be?
It's not just he's got all the best players. I mean, by every account that you hear, the changing room that won all those European Cups was run by Ronaldo, Ramos, and I think Kroos. Look, there's a reason why they kept winning Champions Leagues and didn't win leagues. And the reason they didn't win leagues, and the teams that were beating them to leagues half the time weren't even any good, really, was because they were unable to sustain it over a season because Zidane wasn't doing that much. But when it came to the big games, he had the best midfield and he had Ronaldo, and that can be hard to beat. I'd be interested for someone who thought Zidane was a good coach to pinpoint what aspect of good coaching he was performing. But I think also that people misunderstand what it means to be a good coach. Being a good coach isn't just coming up with good tactics. And so I think when people are criticising, that is one of the things that they're thinking. Why aren't they doing what Klopp is doing? Why aren't they doing what Guardiola is doing? But there are other aspects of coaching too. And maybe we can say that Zidane is good at this, is creating an environment in which the players improve and in which the players succeed. And as it goes, I mean, I don't think Ole does that much of the coaching. I think he's generally the Ferguson model, where you get coaches that you think are good. Whether he's done that is an arguable point. I don't know. I've never seen Michael Carrick coach. I've never seen Kieran McKenna coach. And I think most of the people that gob off about whether they're good coaches or not have never seen them coach either and don't have very much to say about whether they're any good or not. What I think you see with Ole in general, with United in general, is sometimes he gets the tactics absolutely bang on, like the game they won at City. Sometimes he gets the lineup bang on. Other times he gets it really wrong, and he got it really, really wrong when they played to Leipzig away. He went 3 at the back and he played Matic as well. And in fairness, you haven't seen him do that since. Now, more or less, United, when they go to play, they're picking teams to win, and they're not really picking teams to sit and counter. So when you talk about Ole's coaching, one of the things I would look at is which players have improved. And it's not difficult to tick them off. Luke Shaw has improved. Wan-Bissaka has improved, gone backwards, improved again. I think Maguire's improved in influence. I think Lindelof's improved in influence. I think that Scott McTominay has improved. I think that Marcus Rashford has improved. Now, you can say that they're just players getting better because they're at the age where they're still getting better and they're improving themselves. But it often seems with Ole that he gets criticised when things go badly, and when things go well, people kind of assume that it's because of something that someone else or is doing or some kind of coincidence. So I'm absolutely certain that there are coaches who are better at doing certain aspects of coaching than Ole is. But I think that we need to understand that a lot of the people that say he's not a good coach have never seen him coach. And a lot of the people who describe him coaching are really only looking at one aspect of what coaching is. And like very specifically, like, is he directing his players to do particular things at particular times? And like, maybe he's not doing that. But if you see his team improving, I mean, ultimately, you think, like, are United, where are they performing in accordance with where you think they should be performing? Are they performing below their level? Are they not the second best team in the league? Are they the best team in the league? No, I don't think anyone would say that they were. City are the best team in the league and they're top. Now, are United the next best team in the league? And that would be a debate. Some people would say, no, Chelsea have got the next best players, or Liverpool have got the next best squad, with Chelsea more than the next best players. Liverpool have got the team with the next best players. Well, in that case, why are they below United? And who is making that happen? And is that nothing to do with the manager, or is that something to do with the manager? I mean, it's a real head scratcher.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned a few moments ago, Daniel, about Declan Rice, that Manchester United should try and sign him. He would obviously improve any midfield he goes into at the moment. It's going to be interesting in the context of United, though, if they try and sign him, because it'll naturally have something to do with the Jesse Lingard move. How would you operate that if Declan Rice is used as some sort of make weight for Lingard and a permanent move to West Ham? Well, if you were negotiating for Manchester United, how would you negotiate with West Ham this summer?
I think it'll be quite like West Ham. I mean, you'd obviously be trying to use the position that West Ham really do need to sign Lingard now. He's played too well for them to miss out on him. I mean, I think that Lingard is not going to be worth more than £30 million. I mean, they can pretend that he is, but he's got a year left on his deal. So he's only going to, however well he plays, I mean, I messaged a friend who supports West Ham the other night saying it's now going to be, you're now going to be giving us Rice and cash for Lingard, but it's not going to be like that. I mean, Lingard is going to be somewhere around the £25-30 million mark, and the negotiation, if there is one, will actually be what is Declan Rice worth. I mean, the thing about Rice is that there may well be a better player than Rice out there who does a similar job who you get for less money. But I think the thing with Rice now is that you know what you're getting. He's done it in the Premier League, he's done it for England, and he's able to play a Premier League tempo, and he's able to stay fit playing a season, apart from now, obviously, playing a season like this one, playing almost all the games. And that robustness is really important, and that knowledge of what you're going to get is really important. And I think the other thing you get with Declan Rice is that, like, he wants to win, and he wants to play football, and he loves playing football, and that comes through every kind of interview that he gives. He's got this phrase, and I don't know if anyone else noticed it, maybe it's just me, but he always says, "We as players," when he gives interviews, and you kind of get like a real pride in being a footballer from Declan Rice. "We as players, we as players." And a real, really, like, I mean, not a serious individual, but a serious competitor and a serious footballer. And it's very specifically the kind of thing that Ole likes. And I'd be very surprised if he wanted to fill that position and he didn't want to fill it with Declan Rice for all those reasons, beyond everything that he offers playing football. And I've said before, to me, he looked a bit like a centre-back playing in midfield. But I think particularly over the second half of the season, he's looked like quite a bit more than that. He's bringing the ball forward. His passing is better. So I think that the negotiation will be tricky, because obviously each side has something that the other side wants. But I think the value of what United have is limited. And the question in the end is going to be, are they prepared to pay the kind of top-up that West Ham are going to want for Rice?
Very quickly then, Daniel, separate to Declan Rice, if he was out of the equation, would you take Jesse Lingard back to Manchester United next season?
No. I like Jesse Lingard. I've always liked Jesse Lingard. I think he's a really good player. But one of the reasons it's working for him now is because he's playing every week and he doesn't have quite the same pressure. And I wouldn't want to take him out of that. Like, at the age that he's at now, he needs to go and play. He's never going to be a first choice for United, no matter what he does. And they don't just have Bruno Fernandes for his position. They have Donny van de Beek. And they also have Hannibal Medjugorje coming through. And I think he will be playing in the first team sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
If top three or whatever it is secure before the end of the season, I think we'll see Hannibal Medjugorje this season. And United have so many good young attackers coming through. Anthony Elanga's another one, was on the bench last night. And I don't think that the opportunities that Lingard's going to want and need are going to be available to him. And I don't think that it makes sense for United to keep him either, because I think that they need to start getting other players involved. I think Ahmad is another one who can play in Lingard. He can play behind the strike. He can play off the wing. He can play in Lingard's position. And United are now good enough to be able to integrate these players into the first team with all the other players playing, such that, I'm not saying Lingard isn't good enough to contribute. I'm not saying that at all. Lingard is more than good enough to contribute and has contributed in the past. And you can see how good he is from how well he's playing now. But there's a reason why it's all working for him now, and those circumstances aren't available to him at United. So I think that, yeah, I think for his sake, he needs to go. And I think United are in a good position to be able to move on from him too.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. Daniel, great stuff. Thanks a million.
No worries, lads. See you again. Have a good day, everyone.
Daniel Harris there on the line, reflecting on Manchester United getting their 2-0 win against Granada.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.